back on all that stuff because there's a huge number of questions and stuff. I noticed nobody asked the who do I think is going to win question, so we can have that discussion in the public.
You know.
But look, I mean, it's interesting question, interesting debate. But the question about, you know, who would you, I think Jean's right in terms of who would you vote, you know, at the end of the day, it's not the, I mean, for individuals, it's not, you know, we wouldn't spend our time sort of breaking individuals' heads over which particular way they end up putting the cross on the ballot paper. You know, so the pressure's on people, etc. Right, for the record, I think, by and large, we'd argue to vote, I'd argue to vote for Jill Stein. She's the Green Party candidate. She articulates a very good left position. She'll get a vote, which won't be huge, but it's important that a number of people register to vote for a principal left-wing position. I mean, Eugene Debs, who ran as a Socialist Party candidate back in 1912, said very famously, it's better to vote for what you want and not get it than to vote for what you don't want and get it.
Yeah.
And that's what happened. If you vote for Clinton, you vote for what you don't want and you'll get it, won't you? You know, you won't want Clinton, but you'll end up with her. And I think that's important. I mean, the question about... Jade, right at the beginning, asked a question about the Middle East. We had questions about the war and Trump's foreign policy, etc. I mean, basically, Trump comes from a tradition which has roots on the right in America as well as left, of what you call isolationism, basically. He's, you know, in that sense, he's someone who is not signed up for the sort of, the project for the New American Century stuff, the Bush stuff. He did actually support the Iraq War. He pretends he didn't, but he did actually at the time he supported the Iraq War. But he wasn't really engaged in politics at all then. He was just running a game show. He wasn't really, but in the sense he represents that. So, I mean, he's not the choice of the military-industrial complex. Absolutely. He's not the choice of the warmongers. He's not the choice of the people running drone attacks on people around the world at the moment. He's not the, you know, he's not the choice of those people at all. Because you know, he doesn't represent. He may well be very unpredictable and in what he does. I mean, back to Leslie's point about the question about the finger on the trigger. Look, I understand why people are scared of a Trump victory. Absolutely. But you know, if you're black or brown in America, why you're scared of a Trump victory? You know, absolutely. And those are really, really, really significant things that's important. But it's just worth remembering about America and. The use of nuclear weapons. That the, you know, the one American president who has metaphorically pressed the button was a guy who was a down the line Democrat, Harry S. Truman, the most rational establishment liberal politician you could ever want. He's the guy who pressed the button on Hiroshima. He's not a madman, irrational, whatever. He's the guy who pressed the button to vaporize hundreds of thousands of people without blinking an eyelid. I mean, that's what he digs that to be done for the interest, in his view, for the interests of the American state. The second president who didn't actually push the button, but who came nearest to pushing the button, and people of certain generations will remember it, is, of course, you know, John F. Kennedy. And again, John F. Kennedy is the pin-up boy, isn't he, for liberal, left-thinking America. You know, he's the guy, you know, he's absolutely epitomises everything that the liberal, rational establishment, nice Americans you'd like to go on holiday with because they'll have witty conversation and be sophisticated and, you know, all that sort of stuff. He actually represents that, didn't he? He was the guy who, in 1963, was the closest we've ever got to someone pressing the button and, you know, could well have pressed the button. People who are old enough will remember that thing. So I think the question about irrationality and whatever isn't really the key issue. The key issue is a slightly different one. And I think Clinton, in that sense, represents the developed interests of an imperialist strategy that's been developed by key sections of the American ruling class over the last 20, 25 years about wars in the Middle East, expansion, the need for America to project its hegemony by using its military power, which is a crucial feature of American foreign policy, articulated and carried through by Republican and Democrat presidents for the last 25 years. And that's really, and she absolutely signed up to that and represents that. So that's really, really important. Paul asked the question about how much power do American presidents have. Some people, I mean, it's worth saying that, I mean, certainly if Clinton wins, it's very likely that Congress will remain in control of the Republicans unless something dramatic happens in the elections next week. And by the way, I think no one asked me how they think the election is going to go. For all sorts of technical reasons, the results, I think, are very, very interesting and unpredictable. mainly to do with the fact there's likely to be very low turnout in American elections. I wish someone asked me the question because I could do some technical political science. The key thing in American elections is what's called differential turnout. Mm. You know, which way different particular groups of voters vote or don't. If black voters don't turn out to vote, Latino voters don't turn out to vote, Clinton's fucked, basically.
Yeah.
I mean, to already use that language, she's toast, basically.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, if they don't turn out to vote. Differential turnout is the absolute thing, which makes it very unpredictable to actually what's going to happen next Tuesday. It could go all sorts of different ways. The polls are suggesting Clinton's going to win, could go all sorts of different orders. You know, any president who emerges after next Wednesday will be relatively weak. I mean, constitutionally, American presidents are quite weak. They're constrained by Congress, by the Supreme Court, by all sorts of other institutions, etc. You know, so there will be significant limits on what a president, and there would be limits on what Trump could do. Doesn't mean Trump presidency wouldn't be scary. Absolutely, it would be.
Yeah.
There are nasty, horrible right wing forces who would see the Trump presidency as a green light to do really nasty, horrible things. You know, in terms of racism, etc. You know, etc. I mean, there's awful stories, aren't there, about the Ku Klux Klan running monitoring on polling stations, for example, which means armed white guys with Confederate flags standing outside polling stations, intimidating black voters who come to vote next Tuesday. I mean, this is serious shit from the, you know, from the Deep South Reconstruction time of the 1870s and 1880s. I mean, it's really horrible stuff. Those people will be hugely emboldened by a Trump victory. So whatever the constitutional limits that would be on him, you know, the idea of a really nasty right resurgence, racism on the streets, etc., is a real issue, and that'd be a huge challenge, wouldn't it, to left in America, and how they respond to that. And I think that is important to say. So I think that is important. So, look, I haven't answered all the questions. I mean, that's the question about the Clinton being a woman. And again, that's a significant factor, absolutely. And there is a gender issue in the election, no question about it. Women will overwhelmingly vote for, you know, far more women will vote for Clinton than vote for Trump. There'll be a significant gender gap, the polls tell us, in the election. And that is not insignificant. And, you know, a lot of what Trump stands for is extreme reaction on the question of women's rights, and we all know that, don't we? On all right the way across the issue, and in that sense, a Trump victory would open the doors for a carnival reaction in terms of that. The truth of the matter is, though, you know, as the small forces of the left don't affect these things really. Don't, I mean, certainly sat in the room in Britain, we don't affect these things. You know, so to some extent, the important thing is to have some sort of clarity and understanding, isn't it, in terms of political analysis. I mean, Tony Cliff, who was the founding member of the SWP, said his favourite quote from a philosopher who wasn't a Marxist was a guy from a famous Dutch philosopher called Baruch Spinoza. And Spinoza famously said, "Do not laugh, do not cry, but understand." And I think that's really, really important. And, you know, we can get, quite rightly, scared by a Trump victory or whatever, but our job as socialists is to be able to cut through that, to have some sort of analysis to guide us in terms of how we can begin to move and intervene in the struggle. And for people on the left in America, I think they have to take the same basic approach. Whatever happens, it's going to be scary stuff, seats the pants stuff, I think, after the election. The idea that America is going to continue in the way, you know, resettle back to the sort of, and that can be dangerous in all sorts of ways. It can be dangerous in terms of foreign policy. In fact, you don't know which way those, either with Clinton or Trump, you don't know the way these things are going to go. Stuff with Russia at the moment is significant. You know, the ranking up of pressure around Syria, around Ukraine, around the Balkans, all that sort of stuff can go in all sorts of different ways. Our point isn't to be a cheerleader for one or other wing of the American ruling class on that. Is to develop clear, independent policies and the extent that we can do to mobilise movements around them that can affect things. So I apologise for not answering lots of people's particular questions, but I'll leave it there.